Welcome to Sicha Beis this week of Parshas Vayeshev in Lekut HaSichas Chelik Yud on page 122. This is a Sicha on a Rashi in this week's Parsha that seems to be a very simple Sicha, a simple Rashi that is, and the Rebbe here shows us the depth that there is in a few words of Rashi here, and what we can take out, a tremendously incredible lesson that we can take out from this Rashi. B'pirish al ha-posig v'yugad l'tama v'gaymer Maitik Rashi Atevis Oila Timnosa. So the Pasuk here says that Tamar was told that her father-in-law Yehuda is coming up to Timna. So Rashi brings the words Oila Timnosa, Umefarish, Ubishimshin Ueime, Vayerit Shimshin Vigaymer. Timnosa. By Shimshin, it talks about the same place, Timna, and there it says that Shimshin went down. Bishipua Hahar Hoise Yesheves. This place, Timna, was built on a slant of a mountain. Oilin lo mikan, if you're coming from the bottom of the mountain, you're going up. V'yordim lo mikan, and if you're coming from the top of the mountain, you're going down. So over here, Yehuda was coming from the bottom of the mountain, so it says oile. And Shimshon was coming from the top of the mountain, so therefore it says vayered Shimshon. V'tzarech lo hovin, so the following questions we have here on this Rashi. Haloi stirizu mi vayered Shimshon v'chulo. This contradiction that Rashi, Sherashi mi yashva b'pirusha, that Rashi answers here. Misereres v'yeshna kvar ala posik shalofneze. It comes up in the previous posik. Shegam shom nema vayal v'goyim timnasa. There it says that Yehuda came up to Timna. V'imkein hoyle le Rashi lahaktim is pirushoi ze ala posik ahu. Why doesn't Rashi explain what he says here in the previous pasuk to answer the contradiction to what it says by Shimshon Vayeret? There is another question. Rashi explains everything only that's negeya, that's relevant for the pshat and the pasuk here. And for the learner, for a student that's a ben chomish lemikra, to understand the pshat that's negeya now. Hare muvon shekavanasa shal Rashi levay rakas en yonim shal Talmud belom de pasuk zeh yiskasha behem. So it's understood that Rashi only addresses whatever is relevant for the student to understand when he's learning this pasuk here. Aval ein darke liyashiv bepasuk hanilmad shepirushik kishal atzmoi osi shapir ela sheyesh bekushis istiris mepsukim achirim shetarem lomdem atalmud. But Rashi does not address any questions that could come up from different psukim that the Talmud will learn about later. If there's no question that is here in this pasuk, so then Rashi doesn't address contradictions or questions that would happen when you see later psukim. So over here, there is no question here on what it says. It's a question that comes up when the student will come and learn the pasuk and shayftim in Cain. So why does Rashi answer this question over here in this week's parsha? The place to address this contradiction is in the pasuk and shayftim. When he sees both psukim and he compares the two expressions of oila and vayered regarding the same place Timna, there the question comes up. Gimel, another question here is, lamale le Rashi laharech b'lashaynai. Why is Rashi using a longer lashon that he expresses the question here? She betachlas adiyuk l'chol prateho. Everything Rashi says is exact and precise, ki yidua, as known. V'loima, Rashi says, u'bishimshin hu oimer. And regarding Shimshin, it says, why is that introduction necessary? The l'chayre ein zel esfas yeser, it's extra words. Me'acha, sherashi ba'atzmai, mevi loshen ha'kosav. Rashi quotes what it says there. Vayeret Shimshin v'gaymer. U'bizere yedu lona b'mi ve'efen nema loshen yiridizu. So Rashi quotes the pasuk. We know who the pasuk is speaking about, and we know where it says. So hoya maspik loshen k'tzara, would have been enough for Rashi to use a shorter expression and say, "Kamoi uksiv vayeret Shimshin v'chayetzib v'zeh." In another pasuk, it says vayeret Shimshin. It's not necessary for Rashi to give the introduction ubishimshin hu oimer. Hinei al kushizu. So now, this question that Rashi addresses over here, the contradiction of the pasuk over here that it says by Yehuda and the pasuk that it says by Shimshin. Shalashenis aksuvim b'shayches letimna sasri adali. Metzine b'gemara gimel tirutzim. There are three tirutzim that the Gemara itself gives to this question. Aleph, the first answer the Gemara gives is Shimshon shenizgana ba. Shimshon, so he had a negative result in coming into the city of Timnah. Upirish Rashi, shenosam ibnois plishtim ha'asuris lai. He ended up marrying from the daughters of Plishtim, which were forbidden for him. So therefore the Torah says Yirida, which refers to the experience that Shimshon himself had coming into the city. Yehuda shenis alaba. Yehuda, however, that went up, he experienced a elevation here. Pirish Rashi, Shemisham Naildu, Peretz, Vizarach, Shahamidu Malachum Ravim Biyisrael, that as a result of him coming here, he gave birth to two children, Peretz and Zarach, that brought kings and Nevi'im into the world, Suksiv Be'aliyah. So therefore, by Yehuda, it says Aliyah. So the Gemara is saying that the terms Aliyah and Yerida is not addressing the place itself, but it's addressing the experience that happened to Shimshon and Yehuda, which were very different. Beis, another answer the Gemara gives, Shteitim Noisayu. There were two different places. There were two cities that had the same name. One was in a valley and you had to go down, and one was on the top of the mountain to climb up. Simple answer. Gimel, then the third answer of the Gemara is, Chode Timna Havoi. There's one city, Timna. The Osi Mahai Gisa Yirida. If you're coming from one side, from the top of the mountain, you're going down. The Osi Mahai Gisa Aliyah. If you're coming from the valley or from the bottom of the mountain, so then you're going up. So this is the last pshat in the Gemara, and that's the pshat that Rashi quotes here for this pasuk. So if so, there's another question that comes up over here. Madua bocha Rashi betiritz ashlishi shebegemara. Why is Rashi choosing from the three answers the third? Why is this pshat better than the previous two pshatim? The other two pshatim that the Gemara says would also very well fit into the simple pshat of the pasuk. So why does Rashi choose to say the third pshat, that this is a city that was built in the middle in the slant of the mountain, and therefore depends which direction you're coming from? The fact that the other two answers come first in the Gemara, mashma shehem kreivim l'mashma saksuvim yaisim etiritz ashlishi. So it seems that those pshatim actually fit better into the context of the pasuk, more even than the third pshat. So then the question is even stronger. Dafke Rashi hamefarish l'fi pshutei shel mikra mevi umadif es atiritz achren. Rashi, which always focuses on using the simplest pshat in the pasuk, is so he brings dafke the last answer that the Gemara considers to be the last and not as simple as the other two answers. Why is that the case? So basically, the Rebbe over here wants to understand why Bechlal Rashi is addressing anything over here. When you learn this pasuk, it doesn't seem to be any question on this pasuk. Rashi is addressing something which is negeya only when you learn later in Shoftim when you see the contradiction. And also, you look in the Gemara, there's other answers. Why does Rashi choose dafka, the third and last answer of the Gemara, as the pshat that fits best into the pshat of the pasuk? Ba'abir, because the answer here is as follows. B'pirushoi shel Rashi ala pasuk shel afaneinu. When Rashi over here stops and explains the words oyla timnasa, eina mechuvena ikri boyle yashuv esastire leloshen oyla hanem agabi Yehuda miloshen vayered b'shimshin, the Rashi is not primarily coming to answer this contradiction of why once it says that you go up to the city and once it says you come down into the city. As we pointed out, the student learning here is not yet aware of what it says later. Elo, rather, there's another question here. There is a question to ask on this Lashon itself of the Pasuk when it says, Oyla Timnasa. Le'eze tam. Why is the pasuk describing that Yehuda comes to Timna and he goes up, he ascended to the city of Timna? Why is it necessary for the Torah to point this out? Why is the pasuk precise in using the word to say that the one that told Tamar about her father-in-law Yehuda that's coming told her that he's coming up to the city of Timna? Is there any difference in the content of the story? Even if this is the fact, but is this detail relevant for us for the content of the story? That he went up to come into the city and not that he went on a flat land or that he went down? Why does this detail matter? Are you going to say maybe this is a kind of a detail that the Torah says even if it doesn't matter? So the Rebbe points out from other places that we see that it's not the case. The Torah does not describe the way of how you're going, whether up or down, it's a mountain, it's a valley. The Torah doesn't describe that if there's no need. That the student already learned. Bring him as a carbon on one of the mountains. Well, because that, see, even though the Eibishter says, Haleu, you're going to go up on a mountain. It says that he went, Avraham Avinu went to the place, and then it says, they arrived to the place. They certainly were going up Haramiriyah to go bring Yitzchak to that Keda. But the Torah doesn't bother spelling that out. And in the Ha'aris, the Rebbe points out there are other places in the Torah where it uses the term Yirida, and it's always for a purpose. There's something the Torah is, a point the Torah is trying to make. But Stan, when we're talking about a person going from one location to another, arriving to a certain place, there's no reason for the Torah to point that out. And the reason is simple. There's no relevance to knowing how he arrived to the place. The Torah does not spell out a detail that's not relevant for the subject that we're speaking about. So, if so, the same is here as well. There's nothing that we learn from saying that Yehuda went up into the city of Timnah. That Tamar was told that her father-in-law Yehuda was coming to Timnah. Why does it say Oyle Timnasa? So that is really the question that Rashi is addressing. The choice of the word Oyle, not the contradiction. So now, according to this, the Rebbe explains why this is a question that comes up only in this pasuk and not in the previous pasuk, where it already says the lashon of Vayal, that he went up Vayal Timnasa. Omnom be pasuk hakaidim leze, in the previous pasuk, afshigamboy nemar Vayal v'goyim Timnasa. Because that a makim lekushizu. Over there, you don't have this question why the Torah says the term Vayal. Why not? Over there we could say the term Vayal that's being used is not referring to physically that he had to go up, climb a mountain to enter into the city. Going from a low place, coming into the city. There it's actually referring to the level that Yehuda came into the city on a personal level, an emotional level, on the level that he came up and he had an aliyah ruchnis coming into the city. That's what we're talking about. The fact that his soul was elevated entering to the city. That's how we could explain in the previous pasuk. And you may think, but that's not the simple translation of the word vayal. If we're going to say that Vayal means not physically, but Vayal means the Nefesh, a level of elevation for his soul, shouldn't Rashi point that out in the previous pasuk? So the Rebbe says no. V'lehoya pirish zeh yeitzim yidei pshuto shel mikra. And to interpret the word Aliyah in the previous pasuk as an Aliyah ruchnis would be simply understood. Harei b'tchilas ha-parsha nemar, the beginning of this parsha here, it says, Vayered Yehuda mi'eis echov. And Yehuda went down from amongst his brothers. Upirish Rashi, the Pashtus Pirusha, and Rashi there explains, Shahiridu Echov Migdulase, that his brothers took him down from his position that he had, from the greatness that he had, Yiride Beruchnis, that he experienced the Yiride and Aruchnis the level, as a result of what happened by Mechiris Yosef, and the brothers blamed Yosef for this, so therefore they lowered him from his position. So at the beginning of the parasha, when it says Vayered, Rashi already tells us that it means that he went down not only physically but beruchnis. If so, v'hoya mistave loyma shebehem shechlezeh nema boy achakach vayal. So over here, when the Torah writes vayal that he went up, so what does it mean? Lelamdenu shabalichasi letimna, when he came to the city of Timna, vayde maise tomash and estevev miseh, and because of what happened with Tamar, and then that he gave birth to the two children of Peretz and Zorach. He went and became elevated like the first answer that the Gemara actually says that Yehuda experienced an aliyah entering into the city. So that would be the simple pshat we can say in the previous pasuk, and even in the pshut shel mikra it's self understood that this would be the pshat based on what it says before that vayeded, and Rashi already told us that it means that beruchnis he went down, so over here it means that he came up beruchnis. to say this pshat could only be possible in the previous pasuk where it says vayal. It's not speaking directly. And who's saying the vayal? It's the Torah that's speaking in third person, sharing with us what had happened to Yehuda. Meaning, the Torah is telling you what happened to Yehuda. So the Torah is writing it and hinting in the Belosh and Vayal, and this word Vayal, the fact that entering to the city, he's going to experience an elevation to his soul because of what happened over here. So if the Torah is saying Vayal, that Yehuda came up, it's the Torah that's telling you what is really going to be happening to Yehuda here. So that's what we could say in the previous pasuk. But over here in this pasuk, Shenem, our boy, what is it written here? Chamich oyle timnasa. That somebody tells Tamar, your father-in-law is coming up into Timna. Beloshen noichach. There's somebody speaking and saying something directly to Tamar. V'hainu shezeu anusach sheboi huga da'inyin le'tamar al yidei mishu mi'anshe amokim. The Torah is telling you that somebody there in the place use this language in sharing the information about her father-in-law. That your father-in-law is coming up to Timna. If so, harei e'ef shel lefarish, shekavanosu shel ha-magid ahu la'aliyah aruchni shel Yehuda ba'asid. So this one that's speaking to you, to Tamar about Yehuda can't be referring to a ruchni yizdega aliyah that Yehuda is going to experience in the future. Ki dov ez avadi lehoi yidulai. Whoever was telling this to Tamar had no idea about this. So over here, when the Torah describes how the one that shared the information with Tamar said, expressed and said, Oyla timnasa, halei akushi because of zeh. So over here, the question remains, Lama nema loshen oyla balichasi timna. Why does the Torah bother describing and saying that the person shared the information and said, Oyla, that he came up? So that question still remains. So in the previous pasuk, we could say, like the first answer of the Gemara, that it's a ruchni is a galia. But not in this pasuk. Over here, we're talking about what the person that told Tamar described about her father-in-law coming up. So over here, the question remains, why the detail of coming up and not just that he's coming into the city? So this is really the main question, and Rashi answers this by pointing out the contradiction. Meaning, by Rashi answering the contradiction of the Psukim, this will answer automatically the main question that we have, why does the Torah have to write the word Oyla here? There it says Oyla and here it says Vayeret. So this forces us to say that the city Timna was positioned in the middle of the mountain. You go up to the city from the bottom of the mountain, and you come down from the top of the mountain. By answering and explaining this, because of the contradiction, it also answers our main question, why does it say in the Pasuk Oyla? Because now what we understand is, since there are two ways to enter into the city of Timna, you could enter from one end from the city, coming from the top of the mountain, or you could enter from the other side of the city, coming from the bottom of the mountain. So there's no question why the one that spoke to Tama, telling her about her father-in-law coming, says Oyla. This is a detail that's relevant for what he was telling Tama. Al yideat goshezu, by saying that your father-in-law is coming up, yada Tama beizaderach haylech yudat timnasa. So that was not only telling her that your father is coming into the city, but it could be a large city. She has no idea where her father-in-law is coming into the city. He was telling her exactly from which direction he's coming. The haynu bederach ha'olam tachtisa shelahar, that he's coming on the road from the bottom of the mountain. So simple. We understand why this detail is necessary to explain, because the person wanted to tell Tamar exactly from where her father-in-law is coming. So Rashi is not coming to answer any contradictions. Rashi is coming to explain the pshat in the word Oyla here. That the word Oyla here is relevant to explain, because that word Oyla is not just a detail whether there was an incline or not, but that word Oyla explains from which direction her father-in-law was coming. So now we can understand also, why Rashi doesn't answer like the second answer of the Gemara, that there were two timnas. Shahadei, ein kavanosei ikris l'taretz asastire b'lashaynis haksuvim. Rashi is not coming to answer the contradiction. Ukanal, mishum shein zakosha l'talmud b'lomdei pasik zet. This is not the question that comes up learning this pasik. If that would have been the question, perhaps Rashi would have chosen the second pshat. Elo esadiyik b'lashin oyla nemrakan. Rashi wants to understand why the Torah is specific in spelling out the fact oyla. That's the word that we're focusing on. The dova ze, and this question, lo yisyashiv elo ba'ofen sha'oyla lo temnasan mikan v'yardin lo mikan. This is only answered by the third answer of the Gemara, that it says oyla in order to explain exactly from which direction Yehuda was coming. So now Tama knows from where her father-in-law is coming. However, by saying that there are two timnas, this still would not answer the question. Now, the Rebbe will explain this over here, but you may think, why wouldn't it answer the question of the word oila? If there's one timna that's in a valley and another timna which is in a mountain, so when the person is telling Tamar exactly where her father-in-law is coming, so isn't it relevant to say to which timna? So the Torah here writes Oyla to let us know to which timna her father-in-law is coming. So maybe this would answer the question why the Torah wrote Oyla, to know that it's only the one on the mountain. The Ef Shaloima, so the Rebbe says, no, we can't say this. Ef Shaloima, Shaloshin Oyla Timnasa, Balaramas Leidia, Shaderach Alichasa Shayehuda, Mechuvenes Latimna, Anemtaz Berei Shahar, Veloilazu Shabatach Tesahar. That it's telling us to let us know Oyla, to which timna he was going to the one on the mountain and not in the valley. Why can't we say that? Ki, and the Rebbe gives three reasons here. Aleph, first of all, as far as the language of the Pasuk, when you have two cities that have the same name, that's not the way the Pasuk usually describes the difference between two cities, by using the term Oyla. This is not the way you indicate which city you're speaking about. Rather, like there's another place where you have two cities with the same name, Beis Chayrein Tachtein and Beis Chayrein Elyein. There's other examples as well. Whenever the Torah talks about two cities that have the same name, it uses a term similar to this. There's the one that's the Tachtein, the one that's below in a valley, and there's one that's above on a mountain. But to say Oyla Timnasa, this is the way the Torah indicates which city we're speaking about, that's not common. That's number one. Beis, another point is, Kiven Shesasama Magid Ba'ashem, Mashma Shalehoya Mokim Lesafik. Since the one that tells Tamar where her father-in-law is going, and he just says Timna, the name of the city Timna, so it seems that there was no doubt which Timna it was. We knew which Timna he's talking about. Mipnei Shirak Achas Hoisa B'smiches Echayetzibizah. And probably the reason why there's no need to clarify which Timna we're speaking about is because in that vicinity where Tamar was, there was just one Timna. The other Timna was in a different location. So it's not even necessary to clarify this. And therefore he just says Timna. And Gimel, another point, these two cities, Timna, were definitely not close one to another, which makes sense if you have two cities that have the same name. If there are two cities that were right near each other, why would you name two cities right near each other with the same name? It could happen that you have two cities in far locations from each other and they have the same name. And the Rebbe brings an Ara 21 that it actually says that one was in the Chelek of Yehuda, another one was in the Chelek of Dan, they were far away. So these two timnas weren't even near each other. V'im kein ein sorich la'idia le'eza mena kavana le'adiyik shel oyla timnasa. It's not necessary to let Tamar know, which is in one location, in the city of Timna, or near the city of Timna, to let her know which city of Timna we're speaking about. The other city of Timna is in a completely different place. So therefore, that cannot be the reason why the Torah says oyla, to let her know which Timna it is. So therefore, the only answer Rashi can give is the last pshat of the Gemara that says that the meaning of the word Oyla means to say which direction was Yehuda entering into the city. He wasn't coming from the top of the mountain, he was coming from below entering into the city. Amnam lachrei kolanal, however, the Rebbe says, it's still not fully understood. There's still another way how to interpret these psukim here. Eina inyam yushuv kol tzarchai. This is not fully understood. Mitzad ha-deichik be'etzem ha-pirish. There is a deichik in the very pshat, shetimna b'shipua ha-hora yesheves, hoise yesheves. That there's a city that's built in the middle of a mountain, in the slant of a mountain. L'fi shedava bilti rogalu livnois ir b'shipua shalahar. It's not usual to build a city in the middle of a slant of a mountain. And the Rebbe explains why. Yesh ubayinim ir bereishahar. Sometimes you want to build a city and you find a place on the top of a mountain to build it. The hainu and the reason is as follows. Ima yesh b'niyasa shal ir kazo kshura b'kashim shayinim. To build a city at the top of a mountain is difficult. Tircharabe ba'los sarchi abinyin l'reishahar. You have to bring up the materials. No, the conditions of work over there. Also, it'll have a difficult time with business and with any connection that it has to other cities that are below the mountain. It's difficult to climb this mountain. So the passers-by of this city are not as much as people that are on the bottom of the mountain and don't have to climb up. So there are definitely disadvantages of building a city on top of a mountain. In Kose yet lufa'amim mevatrim achasreinis hanal ubeichrim livnais davke bereishahar. But sometimes a city is built specifically on the top of a mountain. Mishum hayistrin shebezeh beinyan ha'agana. There is one tremendous advantage, which is to defend the city. Ira yishevis bereishahar yodal yayne b'mulchamen neged oyev aleichem ba kimishu nimtzel amata. If you're on the top of the city, it's very easy to defend such a city from an enemy that's at the bottom of the mountain. So that's the advantage of building a city on the top of a mountain. Lidach, on the other hand, can move on. Yeshem adifim livnesir betachtes ha'ar. Definitely, there are some that would want to build a city at the bottom of the mountain. Im ki aganos enekala. It's not easy to defend such a city. Mitam shahamokim mukshe yais livnias ir latzlochasa b'masa matn v'chadoim. It's easier to build a city. It's also easier to have success with business and interaction with other cities around and so on. So there's definitely an advantage in building a city below the mountain. Masha'enkim b'shipuoi shel har. But building a city in the middle of a slant of a mountain, she'ein tayeles shleima livnis sham ir. There's no full tayeles, there's no full advantage in building the city in the middle of a mountain. Hein b'negei l'binyanavis patchusa. Whether you're looking to find a perfect spot for the building itself and the development of a city, so you want to choose a spot which is at the bottom and easy for people to access to the city and so on. V'hein b'negei l'aganim o'ev. Or on the other hand, if it's important to you to have a city which has a strong line of defense, so then you would choose a place which is on the top of the mountain. But why would you choose a spot right in the middle of the slant of a mountain that has a disadvantage in both of these ends? In another detail, building a city in the middle of the slant of the mountain, so it's not flat land and it's not easy to live in such a city. Houses that are higher and above other houses, and it's not exactly convenient and comfortable to live in such a place. So why would a city be built in the middle of a slant of a mountain? So now the question is, building a city in the slant of a mountain is not a common thing. So if so, let's go back to the question that we have a contradiction regarding the city of Timnah. In one place it says Aliyah, and in one place it says Yirida. Because of this deichik, to give this answer, that it was in the middle of a slant of a mountain, maybe we should choose a different answer for the contradiction. Why shouldn't we say that really Timnah was at the tip of a mountain? And then to explain and answer the two expressions of Aliyah and Yirida that are written regarding Timnah, let's dodim that the meaning of the words Aliyah v'Yirida in its context are referring to different things. Litzdada means it doesn't have the same meaning in each place. It's in the context, it's interpreted accordingly. When it says the expression of Oile regarding Yehuda, Pirusha, Aliyah, Kipshuta, so over there it means literally that you go up to the city because it was built at the head, at the tip of a mountain. Begashmi is that they had to go up. As the Rebbe had already explained, that Rashi rejects the Pshat over here in this Pasuk, that Oile is hinting to the Aliyah Ruchnis that Yehuda will experience, because over here we're talking about the information that this person told Tamar. We're not talking about the Torah in third person describing what happened to Yehuda. We're talking about what this person is telling Tamar presently about where Yehuda is going. So over here we'll say that the word Ayla means physically that Yehuda is going up because the city was built on the tip of the mountain. Loshen Vayered B'Shimshin, and then when it says Vayered by Shimshin, Haba B'Sipur Hakasav B'Loshen Nister, and over there, when it says Vayered, it's the pasuk itself describing what is happening to Shimshin. Pirusha Yirida B'Chshivus B'Maila. There, the word Yirida could mean not talking about physically going down, but it's talking about physically that he himself experienced the Yirida by what happened to him in this city. So why can't we answer this for the contradiction of the two psukim? This is sort of similar to the first answer of the Gemara. But however, the Rebbe is not fully accepting in Pshutei Shel Mikra the answer of the Gemara that just like by Shimshin, it's a Yiride, so too by a Yehuda, it's an Aliyah Beruchnias, because by Yehuda you can't say Oila Timnasa and Aliyah Beruchnias, because there's somebody speaking to Tamar, and it's speaking about the present, not about what's going to happen to him in the future. But by Shimshin, we can definitely say that Vayered is referring to a Yiride Beruchnias. So why do we have to come up with this Deichik Pshat to say that there was a city that was built in the middle of a slant of a mountain? So this is what Rashi is going to bavaron over here with adding a few words to point out why we don't want to say this Pshat as well. So in order for Rashi to explain, and Rashi hints this to understand why we have to say that Timna was built in the slant of a mountain. So Rashi adds those few words, and by Shimshin it says. So the Rebbe's question was, why does Rashi have to say those words? We see it in the pasuk that he quotes. Hainu meaning, shaloyrak be pasuk zeh. It's not only one pasuk, one time, that the Torah uses the word Yirida, Vayered. If it's only one time, we can say that the Torah is writing it just in order to indicate the Ruchni is the experience of a Yirida that happened to Shimshin. Ella rather, should be Shimshin. Regarding Shimshin, in this whole story that the Torah describes there, or that the Navi describes there, it says the term Yirida. Hainu meaning, it says the term vayered over there more than once. If so, the ein svara lefarish is called echad ve'echad mehen l'ramez yirida b'chashivus. It's not logical to say that every time it says vayered again and again regarding what happened to Shimshin, that it's all to hint to the yirida that happened to him on the stature, on the level that he went down beruchnias. If the Torah wants to just hint to the yirida that he had beruchnias, so it's enough to say one time. Elamai u'balkarchach tzorech loima shemuvane kepshutei. The meaning of vayered that it says by Shimshin, it means, in the simple pshat, shemakim megurav shel Shimshin, haye b'roi shahar, that Shimshin lived at the tip of a mountain, al b'chol pam, shahalach letimna, every time he went to Timna, haye b'ayven shel yirid gash mismehar, he was coming down from his place, where he was living, down into the city. So if so, by Shimshin as well, we have to say that the word Vayered, which the Torah over there repeats a few times, means physically, that he went down from where he was living at the tip of the mountain. So therefore, over there it means Kipshutai, that he was coming down. And by Yehuda it has to mean Kipshutai, as the Rebbe explained before. And this is the reason why Rashi has to say, like the last answer of the Gemara, that this city was built in the slant of the mountain, the middle of the mountain. So we understand very clearly over here why Rashi doesn't choose the first pshat of the Gemara, and not even anything similar to the first pshat. Rashi doesn't choose the second pshat either, that there were two timnas. Rashi chooses only the pshat that there was one timna in the middle of a mountain, and that explains why it's relevant to say Oila, because the one that was telling Tamar wanted to tell Tamar exactly where her father-in-law is coming. And we also understand what Rashi is doing here. Rashi is not coming to answer a contradiction. Rashi is coming to explain what it is this person was telling Tamar about where her father-in-law is coming. Why does the Torah have to say the word Oila? That's the pshat in this Rashi. Now that Rebbe comes and brings us an incredible lesson we can learn from this Rashi in Avedis Hashem. May ha'anyanim de yena shal teira shebe pirish Rashi shalifaneinu, what we could learn from this Rashi in the yayin and the wine of teira, v'ha'ira mizeh b'avidasa shekol echad v'echad, and the lesson that each person can take from this. Mavur b'makim acher, it's explained elsewhere, ala posik miyala b'hara avaye v'goyme, who can ascend the mountain of Hashem? A person serving Hashem is compared to somebody climbing a mountain. V'yedua, and it's known. The kasher adam etafis vayil lehahara. When a person is climbing a mountain, I efshel lehafsek beemtza liyasei v'lamid zman ma b'makim shupoy shalahar. A person can't stop right over there in the middle of the mountain and wait in there right in the center of the mountain, in the middle of the slope when he's climbing. Ki kemat min animna shelo yismaitet v'yipol lamata. You stop in the middle, and then you're not going to continue climbing to the top of the mountain. You fall down. You'll fall. Ella rather, olav lahamshech aliyasei beloy hefsek. You have to continuously keep on climbing. And even if you're resting, you're just resting temporarily to get energy to continue going. But just to stop in the middle of a mountain, so then you'll end up falling. The same is also true when we climb the mountain to connect to Hashem. Shasmadas aliyah muchrachas. Continuously climbing and constantly growing in our Avedas Hashem is important. Not only for the advantage and for the purpose of actually keeping on growing, but also in order to guarantee that you won't fall. If you're not continuously climbing, so there's no standing and stopping and remaining steady and stable in the center of your, of the slope of the mountain. It's if you're not climbing, you're going to end up falling. A person should never be satisfied with whatever level he reached until now. If a person is satisfied with this, and he doesn't continue climbing and going higher and higher in holiness, being there in that position, when you're in the middle, you end up falling if you just stop your continuous climb. This is emphasized in the mitzvah of Chanukah, which is now going to be in Parshas Vayeshev, and very often is on Shabbos Vayeshev. What is the halacha by Chanukah? Shamahadrim and amahadrim chulu. So the mitzvah, the way we fulfill the mitzvah of Chanukah, mahadrim and amahadrim, yamirishem madlik echad. The first day you light one candle, and mikan veilach meisav v'hoilach. Every night you continue and you add another candle. One of the reasons the Gemara says is because you always have to increase in the levels of holiness. And if you don't add another candle on the second day, so then not only haven't you gained more, haven't you increased more light than the day before, you're actually minimizing the fulfillment of the mitzvah of what it was a day before. A day before you fulfill the mitzvah behidur, and a day later, if you don't add another candle, you're missing in that fulfillment of mahadrim and mahadrim. So Rebbe is pointing out over here that in this inyan of meisav v'hoilach, every night we add another candle, you don't only see the idea to add and always constantly grow and increase, but we actually also see the other idea that the Rebbe is pointing out here, that if you don't add, then automatically you end up falling. Because over here, if you're not going to add another candle, so what that means is the previous day you fulfilled mahadrin and mahadrin, and today you took a step back and you fulfilled it to the mitzvah. So you automatically are falling, going down. If you want to fulfill the mitzvah, and at least even just maintain the same level of hiddur that you had the day before, even to just maintain your level in Avedis Hashem, it's necessary to continuously go up. Because a person that's in the middle of climbing a mountain, so there's no option to stay in one position. It's either you're climbing up, or eventually you're going to fall down. So even to just maintain the level that you're on, you have to continuously climb up the mountain. And in Ara 33, the Rebbe points out that this could be one of the meanings of the Lashon, Ma'ilam HaKodesh Ve'ein Meiridin. That is itself what it's saying. That it's either Ma'ilam HaKodesh, and if it's not going to be Ma'ilam HaKodesh, you're going to be Meiridin. Ve'ein Meiridin is not a separate point, but that's actually telling you another detail of the importance of the Ma'ilam HaKodesh. Umarum is in Yizeh, but Divrei Rashi. So this important lesson is hinted right over here in the words of Rashi. Regarding this city of Timna, which was in the slope of the mountain, and it says Aliyah Yirida l'fisha b'shipua ha'har ha'isa yisheves. It was in the middle of the mountain. Ki b'shipua ha'har shu'inyin ha'aveda l'salas baruchnis. In there, when you're climbing on the mountain, growing and your avedas Hashem beruchnius nimnasa amida. You cannot be standing in one place. The gam hahilo chulei b'ifun ragel. And here you can't progress in a normal way where you can take, you can walk, you can stop, and you can wait. Kiim oyalia oyirida. In the middle of a slope of a mountain, it's either you're going up or you're going down. Kishem shali yasa shal yehuda b'shipua hahar. Just like over here, when a yid goes up, when Yehuda, that is. Over here, when Yehuda went up in the slope of the mountain. So what happened? Hivia lidei leidas peretz ze Mashiach. Shenema Allah peretz lefneim. So he gave birth to a son, Peretz, which eventually from him will come Mashiach that will come and break all boundaries. Kach haide avedis kol echad ve'echad ba'aliyeh mimadrege lemadrege bahar Hashem aprati shalei. The same is also true regarding every individual when he ascends in his individual mountain to connect to Hashem. And a person continuously grows and doesn't stop. Is on niske lekiyum hayyud. We will be zeichet to the fulfillment of the promise. Va'olam eshiyim bahar tziyin, that we will go up to the mountain of tziyin. Lishpet is hareisa v'hoisa l'ashem ha'melucha bebias Mashiach tzidkenu, with the arrival of Mashiach tzidkenu.